Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, the game Nashville app. Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley, and we've just had more heated Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton discussion. Actually, I have no idea how TD feels about this, but Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, joins us as he does every Friday at 8 a.m. I'm going to throw it to you right from the start, TD. Isaiah Thomas, John Stockton. Who's better?
Oh, that's a tough question.
No,
I'll go
it's
with
not.
Isaiah.
Thank you.
I like the fact that Isaiah could score too. I mean, he can get you the assist, but he could score and actually take over a game when you need him to. So, give me Isaiah.
Yep. Boom. Thank you, Dennis. On the text line was like, I grew up watching those guys. If you were having a pickup game, no one ever who watched them would pick Stockton over Isaiah. But I Elijah says
I'm
that's
doing
irrelevant.
It now. I'm doing it now.
Yeah, you're just trolling. All right, let's get
it now. Give me five John Stocktons.
Yeah, that'd be good. You get a lot of rebounds that way. All right, TD, a very interesting week over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Got some time now, hopefully some time off for you, and some time to get ready for camp. But I guess the biggest thing, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know that we're going to ever know exactly how it all went down, but what is your takeaway from his press conference, his showing up but not participating, and now as you reported, he has retained an agent. Where do you think this is going? What do you think it means?
Well, I know that he retained the agent. Just when those talks do begin, that's when he's going to need them. So he retained them for that. I believe that it really came down to Mike Vrabel kind of getting ahead of things. And this isn't any reporting. This is just what I believe. And I think that Coach Vrabel said he'll get ahead of it, you know, control what he could control, and told Simmons, you know, hey, listen, you know, come in. We'll have you on a program. You don't necessarily have to get on the field, but we want you here. And I think that's what happened. And because you look at what Terrell Williams has said, that the D-line coach, you know, he's doing everything we asked him to do. I think they felt that he could get conditioning in. And Simmons himself said that, you know, that was a plan that they came up with together, along with Todd Torricelli, to, really get in there and be able to get something out of it. And so it was film work and conditioning.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, is with us. TD, I know there's been some speculation about Derrick Henry's contract situation as well. And he said, you know, this week, you know, who doesn't want a promotion at their job? But what's your kind of feel of that situation? I know we've talked about this a little before, but what kind of feel, I guess, do you have on Derrick Henry and maybe a possible extension? Or what would that even look like in terms of fiddling with his current deal?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything coming right away. It wouldn't really make sense for the Titans to do that. But if they were to, maybe they could tack on another year or just, you know, make some of the money next year guaranteed, because I think it's only $3.25 million that's guaranteed. So that's more or less how the deal would work, like to tweak it or have some type of extension, like to say, with the guaranteed money going up next year. That would more or less be the only way.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question Jared asked us yesterday. I like the question. And actually, he may have asked you, but sorry, if he did, I'm just going to repeat it, TD. You had a certain perspective on the Titans before rookie minicamp and all the different spring sessions, and now they're over. You feel better, worse, the same about this team overall?
Yeah, I think there's two answers to that. So the feeling is worse just because you didn't see a lot of play out of the receiver position. And when you take away A.J. Brown, that's always a loss. But I think overall, eventually, that's going to balance out, because I think once Robert Woods is healthy, once they get Treylon Burks on program, and then as Chig Okonkwo continues to get into the system, he's had, you know, he had a couple of really good days at minicamp. And I think when you mix in Austin Hooper, collectively that group, I think, is just as good. It can be just as good as it was, you know, at the end of the year, you know, after the Bengals game, when A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swain were the guys that we were talking about as the four top options.
Teron, I've heard a lot about the way Austin Hooper and Ryan Tannehill have really connected in minicamp so far. And obviously with Okonkwo joining the tight end group, it's going to give them a lot more versatility and a lot more options on offense. With the tight end group, at least. With the tight end specifically, like with Austin Hooper, what have you been able to notice with that kind of chemistry he's been able to establish with Ryan Tannehill? And is it as good as we're kind of hearing?
Yeah, what I've noticed is just the feel and understanding for each other as far as Tannehill understanding how Hooper moves and just the sauce that he puts at the top of the routes and those type of things. That improved as we got to watch them more. There was one time where Tannehill tried to go back shoulder to him and he didn't adjust the way he thought he would. So he and Hooper, you know, had a conversation about it afterwards. And I think that's really good. And just seeing them take extra effort. And Hooper's actually done that with Malik Willis, too, during special teams period. They're going over and getting extra reps, running routes, mostly top of the route stuff. So it's coming along, and that's something that they're going to continue to work on.
Talking to TD, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, a guy who knows that Isaiah Thomas is better than John Stockton, as most people should. TD, corner situation. I was a little surprised. I think it's a really good sign for the Titans to see. I know it's, you know, it's mini camp and it's not full contact, but even to see Caleb Farley in some team stuff, I thought that was interesting and probably encouraging for them. What did you think of what you did see from him on the field? And then also Roger McCreary. I mean, I thought he got a lot of work in. You know, I think definitely saw some good things from him. You saw him, you know, get beat at times too, but I think you see the makings of a good player there. How do you view those two guys, that situation? Do you think McCreary works outside exclusively in camp?
I think McCreary works both, and that's kind of the luxury. And I was talking to Anthony Midget, the DB coach, on Wednesday about that, and he had mentioned how the group overall, he really likes how all of the guys can play inside and outside. That is something that Farley could do too. But I asked him specifically about McCreary, and he that's something that, you know, he loves, the competitor in him and the ability to do that. So you saw that with him, just as far as, like, oh, I got to sneeze. Just as far as the ability to, you know, kind of mirror receivers and stick with them. He did get beat the one time, but I like the way he got his hand in and punched one out. And, you know, Coach Midget went crazy about it. He was hyped up about it. When you look at Farley, I think that the main thing is just the fact that he's out there, that he's moving around. He obviously has the yellow jersey on and the brace, but you're seeing him, you know, in the backpedal drills and breaking on the ball and doing the things. And he said he's mentally in the best place that he's been. So that's a positive. We'll just have to continue to see how that one will develop.
All right, Teron, one more for me, and this is a non-Titans question. We're middle, about halfway through June, and the Mets, your New York Mets, still in the driver's seat of the NL East. Are you still cautiously optimistic, or have you gone full-blown optimism?
No, you got to be cautious, especially with the Braves playing the way they are. They're, what, four games out? It might be five now. The Mets won last night. I don't know what happened with the Braves, but
they have played really well.
It's one of those things where you're cautiously optimistic all the way up until October, November now, the way things work. Because I've seen the Mets have a lead and give it up in the last 2 weeks of the season to the Phillies of all teams. So I really, that was like a double slap.
Yeah, you TD probably wishes you didn't even bring that up, Elijah. Don't jinx this, man.
We've been tracking on the DDC, at least we've been tracking his Mets optimism progress, because obviously Willie, Mets fan too.
Yes.
It is the psyche of a Mets fan is a fascinating case.
All right, well, you got some time to maybe watch a little bit of Mets now, TD. A little recharge, get ready for camp.
Yeah, a little bit of downtime. Definitely recharge. Get ready for camp. Looking at what, July 26th, I think it is. So it'll be here before you know it.
No doubt. TD, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation, thanks as always, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate it.
That's Teron Davenport, and when we come back, we will react to some of what TD said. The corner situation, I do find that very interesting. You could call it a concern for this team, but I also think there are some causes for optimism. And coming up next, Robbie and Rex at ESPN 102.5, 106.3, the game, Nashville app. Tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game every Saturday from 9 to 11 to hear who? To hear Elijah Campbell and Michelle Knezovic discuss Tennessee sports. Catch up on everything you might have missed during the week. It's called Campbell and Knezovic. This week has basically been an episode, a constant episode of Campbell Knezovic here in Robbie and Rex Road.
You're right.
It's the longest episode of Campbell Knezovic we've ever had.
That's why I had to take over microphone one today. Like, put a stop to it, you know. Like Robbie was texting me like, hey, man, they're taking over our show. I'm just kidding. Robbie wasn't texting me. Robbie also got rid of Twitter, which I think is awesome. Like you know, temporarily for his vacation.
Oh, okay. I think he got off the app for good.
No, but he said he was deleting it from his phone, which I think is a great idea. I'm going to do that this summer. I'm going to try that. But there's been some stuff on
Twitter
this
week.
There's
no way.
There's been some stuff. Yeah, I know.
You're a fiend, Joe Rexroad. You're not going to do it. I give it a day.
Somebody will text Joe being like, this person's trolling you, and he'll be like, oh my God, I gotta defend myself.
God, am I that pathetic? All right, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Here we are live from the Hillside. Here we are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, and we're going to switch gears because I just got a text from Jared Stillman. So the Preds thing, keep an open mind on this. We've talked about how Bill Haslam joining the ownership group, which is a lot different from Bill Haslam taking over the Preds, right? Well, Sportico responded to Jared and said, so let me read Jared's tweet from last night. I can confirm the Sportico report, the shares of the Predators in the process being sold to former Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam. However, what remains uncertain is how much of the Predators Haslam is purchasing, what power comes with how much of the team he is buying. My understanding has been he's joining the ownership group. And also, again, even if he does become quote-unquote majority owner, that does not necessarily mean, Bill Haslam calls the shots. All the rest of you, enjoy your suite.
There's a spectrum here of majority ownership.
But Sportico tweets at Jared, quote, Haslam will acquire the team over an unspecified time period, end quote. So I suppose you'd call that doubling down. So keep an open mind on it. Again, if joining the ownership group, replacing the ownership group, two very different things.
Yes.
Is it joining the ownership group in preparation of replacing the ownership group at some point? Now, of course, for people who are asking, like, if this means, David Poile's going to be fired immediately or Forsberg signing or whatever, I mean, we're talking about things that are long-term processes, if that's the case. But I think it's this was the Board of Governors meeting yesterday. Something leaked out. I don't think the Predators wanted any of this to be out there at this point, but of course that happens all the time, right? I think this would be a good day for the Predators to provide some clarity at some point.
I think at this point,
whatever can be provided, and I understand that can be sticky when you're talking about agreements on shares being sold and a process not being completed and all that, but I mean, this is a pretty, if there is actually a fundamental change in ownership in terms of no more ownership group at some point, That's big news.
That's big news, a big deal.
You know, Haslam joining the ownership group, and even if he gets more shares than other people, that's not that big of a deal. It's an interesting public figure joining the mix, but this some clarification on that would be good today.
So I mean, they feel confident with whatever they've been told to double down like that too, because I mean the first hour when we discussed this, you were mentioning a possible, I don't say redaction, but maybe amendment to the wording of their reporting. But I mean, from what they tweeted at Jared, or quote tweet, I haven't seen the tweet, but I just heard you read it. But the way they're making it sound is almost like he's a business parasite, where he's going to join and eventually take over the host and be the entity, you know, own the entity after one point in time. It's a really morbid way to look at it.
That sounds gross.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying.
But in a way, that is kind of how they're making it sound, which is a lot different than what it might have been perceived last night whenever the reporting or their story broke about it. Because it did make it seem like they're going to be sold to him now, and he's going to be the owner.
Right. When you report, here's the value of the franchise, which they report is $686 million, and then his net worth, which is more than $2 billion, and that's what you're saying, is that
yes,
you are buying the whole enchilada, right?
Yes.
That's not happening. I can report that. But is it eventually happening? See, this is
that's probably where the clarification.
That's not my understanding. But you know, again, they are, and I don't know those reporters, but they had three reporters on the story, and Sportico has been a reliable, news outlet. So, in fact, I want to make sure get the proper credit on this particular story. By the way, Eben Novi Williams, Scott Soschnick, and Kurt Badenhausen. So that's three reporters. Badenhausen was at Forbes previously. So these are people who, are experienced, seasoned reporters. Soschnick is the editor-in-chief, actually, of Sportico, putting this report together. So today would be a good day
for
more information. Yes.
And to avoid this, because there's going to be public discourse about this, and if you would like to not have misinformation spread, or what you deem to be misinformation, or like it'd probably be nice on their part to clarify that, even though I know it's probably going to take some time to craft your message, because I don't think the plan was for it to be announced or leaked like that. So,
yeah, I guess you look at it from Jimmy Haslam's perspective. Not Jimmy Haslam, I apologize.
Ooh, that's a fine.
Well, the reason I said Jimmy says, Henry on the text line says, Haslam and a professional sports franchise, what could possibly go wrong?
Evander Kane to the Preds confirmed.
Yeah. Jimmy Haslam, it hasn't been great, especially lately up in Cleveland. It's funny because things actually had started to turn around, and then $230 million
guaranteed
to
later.
Deshaun Watson. But
you forget about a lot of things whenever you pull off something like that.
I will say that from mostly afar, when I was at the Tennessean, I actually had lunch with Bill Haslam once at the Tennessean.
Nice.
And mostly we talked about Butch Jones. I wrote a column about it at the Tennessean. But from afar, mostly, I would say that if Bill Haslam is the owner of your sports team, I would feel more confident in that ownership than Jimmy Haslam based on what we've seen from afar there.
Yeah.
Why, I don't know, but I'm just saying. Jimmy Haslam has not gone well. And, of course, their dad, Big Jim Haslam, legend, Tennessee Vols legend and trustee and all those things too. Very powerful family. Soon
they could
own everything. I mean, I think Martell tweeted that, they're going to own everything in the state at some point. Or maybe it was Wes Rucker.
They'll monopolize the entire state with them.
But we're in this – we're in this little hazy time period where, again, my understanding is that it's joining the ownership group. Is there a long-term plan beyond that to fundamentally change how the Predators are owned? This is a question that doesn't really relate to, I think, immediate questions of who's running things, how things are run, who's going to get signed, all those things. It's got a salary cap. You're going to do the things that you do. David Poyle's in charge of those things. But I'd say it's pretty significant if you were talking about the Nashville Predators and having a singular owner.
That's significant big picture-wise down the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's – well, first of all, I think that you probably – I think it's been a little bit frustrating with the ownership group, right? Especially with Tom Sigurdsson was out front a bit more. Certainly out front a lot more than Herb Fritch. But it's just when you are in times of duress, you're a little bit – now, you know, Sean Henry is the president and CEO, but the ownership voice wasn't there, which, again, I think should be. I think there should be some ownership voice. Amy Adams Strunk, it's not like she has press conferences every week.
She's
or
at least
month,
very visible.
But she's visible.
Yeah.
And the time she does talk, and when big things happen, like even, well, Jeffrey Simmons. Let's go back to Jeffrey Simmons. When Jeffrey Simmons was drafted, there was a lot of talk. I mean, certainly wrote about it. A lot of people wrote about it, talked about it. You know, his assault incident, you know, in high school before he got to Mississippi State and everything. And Amy Adams Strunk was there at that press conference when they introduced Jeffrey Simmons, and it was largely about that. That's the type of thing. You know, in situations like, well, let's go to Austin Watson in the situation with the Preds. You know, David Poyle, Sean Henry talked to us, but that's a situation where
ownership,
ownership yeah. should be a part of those things. Just like ownership, I mean, the Haslams were part of one of the first Deshaun Watson presser, for example, right?
Somewhat.
Now, what does that matter? I mean, I just think it's, yeah. I think when you have really like times of crisis, especially, or times of, okay, someone maybe isn't doing the job, it's good to have
a decision maker
and someone who speaks to the fan base, who you know to the customer.
It's good to avoid the perception of them ducking anything, and that's pretty significant. Like the Amy Adams Strunk example that you laid out, and the like Jimmy Haslam being there for the Deshaun Watson signing press conference was pretty significant, even though there was like some perceived ducking there too. And there's some perceived ducking now. And it looks really bad when you do that. You want to avoid all kinds of perceptions.
Yeah. Now
of doing that.
Now would it help the organization run better? I think we can speculate on that, on something that may not happen at all. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, the game Nashville app. You're listening live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio. We're going to get into a little Ryan Tannehill, interesting Chris Sims ranking here. I do want to make sure that we have the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com in I want to make sure we have some contributions. Dennis having a great day on the text line. The details on Predators ownership is as murky as dunk tank water.
Does it taste the same, though? That is what the real question is here.
My goodness. Yeah, I actually did take a little bit of a gulp the other day, and I was like, I'm going to be sick for 3 days in a row, aren't I? I'm okay.
My contacts are floating in there somewhere.
Oh, good Lord.
See, you guys like consuming a little bit of it, you're either going to be sick for 3 days straight, and then after that, like, never be sick again.
Right, and possibly glow a bit in the dark.
Possibly, maybe be a little radioactive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we made it through, so. And we're still waiting to make it through the day and hopefully find out more about Bill Haslam owning the Preds, owning a part of the Preds. He's going to work for the Preds. I don't know. Can he skate? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities
playing
here.
Playing for the Preds?
You know, there's a lot of possibilities. How about player owner? We talked earlier this week, right? Like, how many player owners have there been? Do we know for sure that Bill Haslam's not a player owner? I don't know.
Jackie Moon did.
I don't have confirmation that he's not going to be a player owner. So hopefully the Preds go ahead and give us a little bit of information today. Chris Sims, what do you think about Chris Sims? You like Chris Sims? Like, do you respect Chris Sims' opinion on the NFL?
I like when he evaluates prospects. I think that's probably his strength.
Yeah, I feel like he's got good analysis.
I think there is he is the epicenter of many a Tate quake with the Pro Football Talk operation. You know, some of it seems a little grifty. Not like don't say politically grifty, but like a little like fanning the flames.
A little bit first takey. Is this what you're saying?
A little bit, yes. Okay. Where it might not be as I don't want to completely say he's been disingenuous because I like Chris Sims, but there's some things I do think he says for reaction.
Yeah, I could buy that. I remember there have been a couple I'm like, really? But it seems like, you know, for the most part, I mean, he should know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's a good evaluator of the quarterback position specifically.
Speaking of first takey, just real quick, what is going on here with like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless? He put out this big statement. What is this about?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I fell asleep watching Skip Bayless's little podcast thing where he's reading off like sheets of paper about why he's mad about like with Stephen A. Smith, and I didn't get to the end of it because it was very long. But
when did Skip Bayless do this?
Yesterday, I believe. I saw it yesterday, and Stephen A. Smith responded yesterday. So I assumed that's when the initial
thing came out. I read Stephen A.'s statement, and it was like basically, I love Skip Bayless. He's my brother and all this stuff. So maybe he just said, I don't know, like the show was bad when Skip was on it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Get over yourselves. All right.
That show being dramatic, I'm shocked.
Yeah. So Chris Sims has Tannehill 15th. His comment on him, this is at audacy.com, AUDACY.com. His comment on him is he plays within a system, but he can bring something to the system too. That's probably after last year. I think a year ago, I think you make a pretty good case for Tannehill to be top 10. Like a year ago, for example, it's all the usual suspects in the top 10. I mean, he goes Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Rodgers. Stafford, Wilson. He's got Brady 8th. I know some people would just lose their, you know, just clutch their pearls on that one. But like, you know, Prescott and Lamar Jackson, 9-10. A year ago, I mean, I think I did make the case on this show. Like Tannehill, I would put him ahead of Dak Prescott, for example. I would have put him ahead of Derek Carr, Kyler Murray. And these are all people he has ahead of him. The weirdest one here is like, I don't even know what you do. But again, I mean, at least the comment is on his. Deshaun Watson, 13th. And the comment is, I don't know what to make of him. Yeah, I mean, I mean, you almost remove him from this right now, don't you?
He hasn't played in a year, and he's probably not going to play this year. So I think that's what you make of him. Just don't put him on the list. You can exclude him. I think that's fair.
Yeah, but I think the thing about this list, and I totally, like, for example, right behind Tannehill is Cousins. I think that's fair. And he says he's the ultimate system QB. It's the sexiness that lacks. The difference in those two,
that's fair,
is that Tannehill is a much better athlete, and Tannehill can actually do some things when the pocket breaks down. But number 14, this is what will get Titans fans a little bit upset. Matt Ryan, Indianapolis Colts. Quote, you don't realize how good he is until you turn on the effing film. End quote. F.ing film. End quote. So there you go. Matt Ryan ahead of Tannehill and quite an endorsement from
Chris
Sims.
That's a very strong endorsement. I watched Matt Ryan play last year a few times.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Saints fan.
Yeah. The last I saw of him was being there in person to watch him underthrow a couple interceptions against the Saints and cost the Falcons that game.
Matt Ryan is I don't know. I just don't know what to think. I mean, he's
– I mean, is it better than Carson likeable. Wentz? I don't know. I think a lot of people like assume that it makes them better. It makes them different, sure. But I don't know if it's like that much better. I think you've seen the best days of Matt Ryan, the arm strength. Isn't what it used to be. Accuracy is like fine, but I mean, there's nothing I've seen from Matt Ryan in the last 2 years for me to be like, yep, wow, that's like the difference maker for the Colts. The Colts' difference makers are going to be on the defensive side of the ball, and they're going to be a run-oriented team with great offensive linemen that run block really well. Quentin Nelson, probably the best run-blocking offensive lineman in the league. Like, that's where their bread's going to be buttered, not Matt Ryan throwing for 300 yards and lighting it up. Like, I don't foresee that happening at all.
Right now, I like the Colts. I like the Colts to win the division because of a lot of the things that you just said. I mean, I think that they just have. Now, I will say that Kari Willis retiring, Kari Willis, incredible story, by the way. But he's a good player, solid player. Not a great player, but a good, solid player. He's retiring to join the ministry, which doesn't surprise me. This guy, like Michigan State guy, known him since he was like 10th grade, and his dad is a minister, and That was definitely his destiny. I'm surprised he's doing it right now, right at this moment. Maybe there's an injury concern with that, you know, because he's still
could be a plethora of things.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a loss. I still would pick the Colts to win, and it's not because I think Matt Ryan's going to be great, but I do think he'll be better. I think he'll be less likely to just blow up a game and give it to the other team.
Yeah, I think so. And the thing with Carson Wentz last year too was like he only threw 7 picks in the year. However, like 4 of them were hilariously like meme worthy. And going to be on the not top 10. And also those ones that were really funny because they were really bad also cost them the game. So not only were they bad like visually, they were bad situationally. And it cost them some games that way.
Well, look, yeah. Just go the Rams game at home and the Titans game at home.
Yep.
And if he doesn't have those
two good examples.
Red zone turn, I mean, one was a fumble, right? It was only like a little shovel pass play.
It was the shovel pass play that Elijah Molden.
What are they doing? Like, well, no, that's... I'm talking about the Rams game.
Oh, the Rams
game. Elijah Molden game was, or the pick, wasn't that, it was at the goal line.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just a, or he was under duress and he just threw it up. That's what happened there. And then of course, he throws the other pick. Byard, great read, great play, but also.
Read him like a book, and that's why he was able to make that pick.
But like he said, Matt Ryan still throws bad picks sometimes. It's not like.
Throws a lot of ducks. Like, I don't, like. That's my only disagreement, I guess, because I look through a lot of these on Chris Sims' list, and a lot of it, like, I totally understand. Like, I don't think Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes right now is that hot of a take. Because, like, when you're watching film, like, if you watch, like, the All-22 angles of some of Josh Allen's throws, your jaw is on the floor because of, like, he's, like, rolling across the field, throwing across his body, and just, like, with a flick of his wrist, throwing it, like, 50 yards in the air. And it is one of the coolest things to watch in football right now is, like, All-22 film of Josh Allen and like the playmaking ability he has.
No, he's so much better than I ever would have guessed.
I thought he was going to be bad.
He was bad.
Like for his first year, he was really bad. And I was like, this is going to be what he is. He's just going to be a big Brock Osweiler body who can run a little bit. And then he evolved into this.
I mean, when they beat the Titans in Vrabel's first year and in his first, that was his rookie year, right? 18?
Yep.
Now, I mean, his best play was like slowing up near the sideline on a run so he could get a 15-yard penalty. Like, he was so bad. I was like, this guy can't complete, like a basic comeback route.
Like,
I
mean, he's got no chance. Wyoming was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, 47% for his career. It was something around that. Might have been his last year.
And he still will have the occasional, you know, just sail a pass here or there. But, he's tremendous. And that's why the Bills are, to me, the favorite. And, yeah, Mahomes, we're going to find out because – Tyreek Hill, I mean, Mahomes is special, okay? I mean, clearly. He's ridiculous. But without Tyreek Hill, I do wonder what that will mean for him. All right, we're going to get a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to call some shots. Robin Rexroad, ESPN 125, 106.3 The Game, The Game, Nashville app. And here we are, Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Game Nashville app, and we're going to call some shots because it's Call Your Shot Friday. But first, let me just clarify something on the Preds ownership situation. So I'm going to go back. I want to read this. I want to read the Sportico tweet to Jared. Okay. Haslam will. Okay. See, Sportico, I think their wording is bad. Sportico tweets to Jared, Haslam will, quote, acquire the team over an unspecified time period. So we said it earlier, and then they had this tweet, and I was like, Okay, I'm going to say it again. The ownership group is staying. The ownership group is staying. And I think if you want to say take over, like Herb Fritch has taken over from Tom Segerin. Is that taking over? Yes, it's taking over the ownership group. It's being the majority owner. It's being the chairman, person who speaks for the ownership group. That's all possible for Haslam. But again, like the ownership group selling out, which to me is what Sportico makes it sound like, is not happening. All right, let's call some shots.
There we go.
Let's call some shots. And let's review our called shots from a week ago. Robbie, Draymond triple double tonight. This is the problem with like series. It's like, which game was that again? But he didn't have any triple doubles.
No, that would have been game four where they tied the series at two.
Which was a massive, massive comeback. But yes, he had Trey Lipscomb game winning homer tonight against Notre Dame. Of course, there was no win. Notre Dame won game one.
That's right.
Of an eventual series win. Kucherov, two goals in game six, third period, to send Lightning back to the final. I don't think Kucherov had the two goals. They did go back to the final. And he said Melbourne is going to take down Collingwood.
Is that Australian rules
football? Oh, yeah.
No,
he's got an Australian rules football shot like every week now. So, actually, I don't know. Like, can someone look up if he's right on Melbourne over Collingwood on Australian rules football? I mean, I want to give Robbie proper credit if he got that shot right. Michelle, her shot, Tampa Bay will repeat. Down 1-0 right now, but certainly that's still alive, and I don't hate it. Stamkos, two goals and assists. Tampa wins game six. Did he have two goals and assists? I don't think he did.
He had two goals.
Oh, did he?
I don't know about the assist. I
don't think he. Okay. Hanley says no on the assist. That's close. I say get the dub on that one.
I got the dub.
I mean,
round up.
You've had to have the bitter disappointment of the Celtics getting smoked by the Warriors last night. I mean, I say we give you the dub. Baker Mayfield and Jimmy G will both start for teams they're not on now. I like that.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know who those will be. I mean, Seattle could at some point use a quarterback on its roster.
Better than Drew Locke.
Panthers.
Panthers, maybe.
There you go.
There are there's some things floating about the Panthers' interest in Baker Mayfield potentially. So.
Yeah.
That one could happen.
Yep. All right. My shots. Jordan Poole goes for 25 tonight. And I said, that's a shot. And it was a shot. And it sure as heck didn't happen.
He shot a lot.
Although he had a great game five. Draymond, double figures in rebounds and assists. Did he do that? I don't think he didn't have double figures in assists in that game. He had a good game, but he didn't have double figures in assists.
Lightning. Draymond's stat line was 2-8-4.
Okay.
Just kidding. I'm an idiot. I read the box wrong. 2-9-8.
So actually, it was close. It was really close. Lightning will win it all. I don't know if that's a shot, but I mean, whatever. I'm with you on that. And then the Vols will be sent to Omaha on a Jarrell Ortega home run. And then I won't even read the rest of my shot. A replica,
nope, do it.
Of the Lebs patch, our tradition in the outfield. That didn't happen. So there you go. Those are our called shots. And we're going to call some shots now. Elijah, I'd like to start with you, my friend.
Okay. I'll do a college baseball one, and that is that the Arkansas Omahawks will win it all. nothing other than just like they have the 2019 Virginia, 2020 Tampa Bay Lightning feel, where they had just an incredible disappointment the year before with blowing it against NC State in the Super Regionals, where they dominated game one and then just collapsed. Over the last two.
Cobb's having to come in out of the bullpen.
The brutal mismanagement
year.
Of his arm and then riding him until the wheels fell off, and then the wheels fell off before Omaha. So I think the Omahawks' redemption arc will come full circle when they win the College World Series. I have another baseball one. My beloved Cincinnati Reds are awful. I hate them, but they will not finish as the worst team in the National League. They might not finish as the worst team in their own division. Because there's some bad, bad teams in there. Pirates aren't any good.
That's a shot.
And they're playing better. I think the Reds can surpass one of them. The Cubs are really bad. I think they can definitely surpass the Cubs. I'll be pumped about that. And there you go. That's a win for the season. And the Avalanche to throw in the Lightning.
Okay. You got the Avs winning the series.
Joe Sakic wins him a cup as a GM. Some legendary stuff.
All right, you hear my typing. I got to mute when I'm typing. Michelle, would you like to go next?
I've got some shots.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay, so we obviously know I still have my Tampa one that I've been calling for a while now. Mm-hmm. In game two, Tampa shuts out the Avs. I'm going to say 3-0.
Woo! That's a shot.
Okay, that's
nice. I know, it is a shot.
And that building shut that team out, that's a shot.
Mm-hmm. Notre Dame will win the College Baseball World Series. Shout out Fighting Irish. My grandpa's a huge Irish fan, so that one's for him. Okay, Deshaun Watson will get less than a year suspension.
Wow.
I think we share the same faith in the NFL.
To
get that one right.
Baker Mayfield will be with the Carolina Panthers before training camp starts.
Wow, you're getting specific now. I bet you're drilling down on the Baker Mayfield shot.
Okay. Well, I feel like we need to be specific because there's so little going on. And then finally, we all know my Cincinnati Reds, 22 games. They have surpassed that, okay? But the Tennessee Volunteers baseball team will have more wins than the Reds at the end of the season. So I think, what did they end with? The Vols ended with 57?
57 or 58. 57
and
or 58.
I have to give somebody props on the text line. They said that last time. I don't know, remember who it was, but they asked who will have more wins. So I'm going to say that the Reds will have less than 57 wins.
I like it. I think now that I think is, yeah.
Also, it
certainly could happen.
To clarify the results from last week, did Robbie say he had Melbourne over Collingwood?
He did. He said he had Melbourne taking down Collingwood.
So when you Google it, the first story that comes up from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, Collingwood stuns Melbourne by 26 points in Queen's birthday blockbuster as Pies knock D's off the top. There's a joke in there that I really want to make, but I'm
D's
not going to.
D's off the top. D's Collingwood.
D's Collingwood off the top.
D's shots. They're not going great. Oh, boy.
That's good.
All right.
That's good.
Right. Great.
D's shots.
Well, sorry, Robbie. No, wait a minute. He made it sound like Melbourne would be like some huge upset. But that headline says they got shot.
Collingwood stunned Melbourne.
So Robbie was calling like a counterfeit shot when it was directed
a favorite.
Because
you weren't going to know any better. It's brilliant on Robbie's part.
Well, he makes it sound like you know, like he's all in on the Australian rules football.
He's playing chess.
All right, I got quick ones. Lightning will win game two. Braden Point, game winning goal. Hmm. Okay. All right, guy we haven't seen. Play it. Been hurt this postseason. Game-winning goal for the Lightning. Out of market, the Detroit Tigers will fire GM Al Avila soon. I'm just calling that shot because they should. But actually, there's like serious questions because ownership is, I don't know what's going on there. There's ownership talk for you. I'm going to go with Stanford to win it all in the College World Series, but playing Notre Dame. So Stanford over Notre Dame in the final series. I do think Notre Dame kind of does the Michigan from 3 years ago, shocks the number one seed, goes on to the final series, isn't quite up to the task there. Those are my shots. Real quick on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, Tony from Murfreesboro calling my shot, Titans will be 500 or worse. Well, they can't be 500. So you got to pick it. You got to pick side, Troy.
What if they're 8-8-1?
Is it Tony or Troy?
Tony. Well,
in all of his texts, he's saying Troy.
So we have mislabeled him on the contact on our.
My called shot is that Tony or Troy will pick a name, but you got to pick a side. It's either 8-9 or 9-8. John says my shot. Haslam fires Poyle and his son John again. Bill Haslam's not coming in and just like taking over. Like the ownership group is not selling out. I think we're going to hear something soon. I think. And Heidi from Dixon. Willis will have a better completion percentage in the preseason than Tannehill does in the regular season. Heidi from Dixon. Haven't
spicy.
Heard her in a while.
That is spicy.
I like that. That's a good shot.
That's finally okay. Crafted.
We got to remember that shot.
If that happens, Heidi, Joe is getting a pedicure with you.
That's fine. All right. On that shot, I will get a pedicure if Robbie also gets the pedicure. Is that fair?
I get to do one too, and you guys are paying. Awesome.
Yes. I know you're like okay, I guess I'll sacrifice and go ahead. All right, we're gonna get a break. When we come back, Nashville, tough day yesterday, the World Cup not coming here. We're going to talk about why, what it means, and why maybe you shouldn't feel too bad about it. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex on ESPN 102.5 106.3 the game Nashville app.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.